Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the God.
Peace to law.
Hey, yo, there go that brother Grand Poobah. I heard that brother got nauseous.
Yo, it's doing Jay, brother. Yo, let's have that brother come over and add on to the site.
The maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father civilization, god of the universe. Manifesting thoughts with my infinite styles, making sure this travels 23 million miles. The other trick to set the crucifix, because the heart of the problem is this.
Big on it, God.
Preacher got my order, putting money in the pan for the rest of the week. Now I'm eating out of soup can. He has a home, drives a caddy to town. Has my old earth believing that it's coming from the ground. Slain of those who fought for what was right. Slayed of those fell victim to the pipe, a drug controlled substance contained in a vial, set about a devil as he looks and he smiles. Good at the game of trichnology, but I have knowledge of myself, you're not fooling me. You see the answer to me is black unity, unification to help our bad situation. I wrote this on a day of wisdom, power, all being born in myself.
God.
I won't dip the next brother to be paid if not my trade, it's just the planet is designed by the colored man. Now I'm babies born to think this is the way of us. Why equip stuff for trade and made an interpretation saying that we receive more gold for our labor in his name?
We receive more gold.
God, now cipher. It's time to drop the bomb and make the devil pay the piper.
True indeed, God. True indeed, God.
Mark.
True indeed, God. True indeed, God.
Mark.
True indeed, God. True indeed, God.
Mark.
True indeed, God. True indeed.
Sunshine.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Everybody.
That we can live much better than this. Nothing's changed, it's just another sequel. The devil's still causing trouble amongst the righteous people. Drugs in our community.
That ain't right.
Can't even get a job.
That ain't right.
Poisoning our baby.
That ain't right.
Lying who is God.
That ain't right.
Well, here's some food for thought. Many fought for the sport, and the black man still comes up short. It's time to motivate, build and elevate. Blind, deaf, and dumb, we gotta change their mind state. So I'll dip, dip, diver. Civilizer 85, gotta let them know the devil's a conniver. This is the plan from the brother man from the motherland. Now it's time to take a stand. I'll keep striving to do my duty to awake them to the universal family. I say assalamu alaikum. Yeah. Now I'ma do it like this. Enough respect to the brother John DJ. Enough respect. Enough respect to my brand new being brothers. Bussin. Lord Jamal.
Move on, black man, move on. You gotta move on, black man, move on.
Peace. Peace and power to everybody. Listening to the Panther Power Chat open rant with Kevin Crosby, and I got a couple of my queens is already on. I'm digging that. I got to bring my sister Kia on because Kia, she drives, she makes me stay lovely.
Hey, brother.
World. Peace, queen. How are you?
Good, good. How's it going?
You already know. Mad as hell. Still more angry, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's all right. We're going to make it
through
it, though.
Hey, we don't have a choice. Shit, you know.
That's
been
right.
Been stranded here for a long time, so, you know. So I have my issues sometimes with our African brothers. You motherfuckers never even threw a rock toward America over the slave trade, but that's another show. Yeah, we'll deal with that on another show, though. What I'm going to do, Queen, because it sounds like you got a little bit of extra in your background, so I'm going to ask you to mute your mic for me.
Only, okay.
When you got something to say, just jump in whenever you know you can do that anytime. Just mute your mic for me and kind of give a little bit of a quick history lesson, and then we're going to jump into a few different subjects. So first thing I wanted to touch on real quick, I don't agree with this woman politically at all. Name is Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney's daughter or whatever. I'm not a fan of hers. I don't agree with a lot of her policies. This woman voted with Trump probably about 90% of the time. However, I do salute her for having the courage to call the insurrection just what it was, an insurrection, and to not buy into the Kool-Aid. Now, like I said, me and her probably wouldn't talk about much and agree. However, she, you know, had the courage to stand up when her party is clearly tripping right now. So I have to give her props for doing that. It's a big thing. So I hope that that her courage spreads to the rest of that group over there, because right now they're buying into a lot of Jim Crow shit. And if we don't watch ourselves, we could wind up losing even more. So big shout out to Liz Cheney for standing up and doing the right thing. Also wanted to talk about the two killer cops, Amber Geiger and Derek Chauvin. Both of these bastards have decided that they're going to see if they can pull a trick to get out of the convictions that they got for the murders that they did, both of them being equally heinous, in my opinion. I find it odd that these people killed people. They both, Amber Geiger killed a man who was sitting in his own home in his underwear, eating ice cream, minding his business. And Derek Chauvin decided to put his knee on the neck of a person for, what was the length of it? We found out over almost 10 minutes. So, and it's funny that both of them are trying hard to not have to do their time. When we don't get those options, black, brown, red, yellow, poor, white, we don't get those same options. It's funny that a cop gets 48 to 72 hours to make a statement after he kills someone in the line of duty. However, if you kill someone, you're going right then and all statements will be made then. I got a caller I'm going to bring on real quick. I see they hit the button. So I'm going to bring them on real quick. Caller, state your name and welcome to the rant. What's on your mind? All right. Well, I think you hit the button, but no problem. All right. Anyway, so we'll keep moving. Also wanted to talk about two people that a lot of y'all may be aware of who they are, definitely one of them, Colin Kaepernick and Tim Tebow. Now, both of these are players from the NFL. Both, believe it or not, took a knee on the field. Tim Tebow was just offered a job as a tight end with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And he is back in the league. Yes, he is white. While Colin Kaepernick is still being blackballed by teams that desperately could use a quarterback. And yet they won't give him that, even though the NFL still is making a lot of money off of people of color and those fans who are still spending money buying jerseys and, you know, the NFL Sunday tickets and all of this other stuff. So, you know, personally, I say fuck the NFL because the thing I wanted to touch on the most today was this. We keep getting smacked in the face, and we keep taking it. Now, when Martin said turn the other cheek, I don't know. I noticed he never put a number there, but I would like to think that he didn't want you to keep turning the other cheek. Malcolm didn't turn cheeks. You know, he turned minds, and I actually like that better. But we've gotten a lot of slaps in the past few weeks. You were blatantly told by Republican legislatures in several states and more coming that they were going to restrict voter access, especially in poor neighborhoods, wouldn't matter what color you would be. But this was done basically to affect those at the bottom of the economic rung and people of color. And what I noticed the Democrats have done was stand there and shake their finger at them like a fucking assistant principal, you know, shaking a finger at a second grader on the schoolyard, but yet not doing anything substantial about what they're doing, allowing them to do it and not doing much to counter it. And yet, they tell you every 2 to 4 years how big and important your vote is. And then they show you just how they can shit on that same vote. But yet they push you to vote. They get your favorite stars, your reverends, all of that, athletes, everybody, just like with the vaccine. You know, they pulled one doctor, a black doctor, which Dr. Fauci needed his ass whooped for even bringing that shit up because it doesn't really matter who's stirring the poison now. Telling me a black person that it doesn't mean it's less poisonous. You know, that's one of the slaps that we got. Another one is how they're dealing with the insurrection. Now, I'm not a big fan of Black Lives Matter, but I do know that the National Guard was out there in full regalia, in full force this past summer. And they were quite, you know, extravagantly violent. I mean, to the point that even white people were getting hurt by these idiots, you know, and they were there to make sure that no one, I mean, I saw how many they had around the Capitol and everything else. Yet on the day of the insurrection, it was almost like a Sunday there, as it was stated by one of the Capitol police. Wasn't a lot of, considering you had the vice president, both chambers of Congress, you know, certifying the election and had substantial threats from the president and all of these right-wing groups that use Facebook and Twitter and all of these other Amazon and all these other channels to connect with each other, wind up going up there in full regalia. I mean, if you're going just to listen to your president, then why the hell do you need a walkie-talkie and camouflage and all of this other stuff? And finding out that they had guns back at the hotel rooms, so they could have went a lot crazier than it did. And yet they are trying to convince us. These were people who were running for their lives in the Capitol that day, and now they want to act as if, well, they were just peaceful patriots. They were, and I'm like, you know, and they're just being harassed by the FBI and Homeland Security and this and that. And I'm like, okay, once again, another slap in the face, letting you know that your right to exist isn't the same. The Breonna Taylor case, they put a black attorney general for Kentucky, This guy is just a coon. Okay, white people don't love him like that, and black people have no use for him. And he got out there and he talked as if he had done his job, and he didn't do his job. Another slap in the face. And then they have to board up the city before they read the verdicts. Why? Because they know what they weren't going to do. Okay, they knew this. Another slap in the face. You know, it just seems that that no matter what, that's really what's happening, you know. Now they want to deal on those who are unemployed. They want to come at them. Women are the most unemployed group right now. Right now is women. And yet the government is allowing themselves, because what I'm noticing is the slap in the face I'm really pissed about is the Democratic Party doing nothing as the Republican Party shows us exactly who they are. Now, let's go back a little bit so we can kind of put this into perspective. Your conservative wing of the Republican Party used to be in the Democratic Party. They left in the 70s during Richard Nixon. When he started his war on drugs, a whole bunch of them, they knew what that meant. War on blacks. And they went, they flopped to the Republican Party all the way up till Reagan. And that's when a lot more of them came. Now, it wasn't enough for them to win elections still. They won those by rigging the lines. And, you know, you have certain districts that have several different areas that are in different districts just by walking a block or two. You know what I mean? So it's actually, when you think about it, it kind of makes sense, because during the Reconstruction, the Republican Party was the party that was trying to be more progressive, not because it helped us, but because it was a power move on the South after losing the war. But the switch to them going to the Republican Party, allow me a moment. I'm sorry. I'm getting text messages. Allow me a moment. So what we have is basically we have people who never, you know, when they say make America great again, those are the people that he's talking to, because the America that they knew at that time was great, even though it meant us not having such a great time. So we have to, that kind of should help us to put into perspective what to expect out of these people. As I stated when the campaign was going, y'all are putting a lot into Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. The only good thing about them is they're not Donald Trump. You know, that's the only good thing that was about them. Neither one of them, in my opinion, one of them wrote the 94 crime bill, which locked up a lot of people, a lot. And Kamala Harris broke records in the state of California for the amount of convictions that she got. There's three guys sitting there right now that she knows is totally innocent. She did nothing as a DA, as the attorney general, or as a sitting U.S. senator, still hasn't done nothing as vice president. And them guys are innocent, but they are still locked up in California right now. And it's what I really am seeing is us continuing to allow certain shit to happen. You know, we have to stop playing with ourselves and start being realistic. They don't really give a fuck about you if you're poor. You're here to work. You're here to add money to the coffers, buy shit, lust shit, get addicted to shit, want shit, need shit, long as you can pay for shit. Then you are talking. I'm going to take a second, because I did want to play something, and it's only because I really dig this, and I want to play it, and then we'll talk on the other side of the break, Anybody that wants to get in on the conversation, please just hit the one. I will open up your mic. You can speak, you know, about whatever is on your mind or whatever we're talking about. The call-in number for those online is 914-205-5538. And if you'd like to get on, please get it. You know, don't hesitate. Tell anybody that you think might be interested, please. And I want to get a conversation going. So after we listen to this poem real quick, then on the other side, hopefully we can start a real good dialogue off that or any of the subjects or anything you might want to talk about. The name of the poem I'm going to play is called Niggas and Flies. It's by a friend of mine, Michael O.G. Law. Currently, he's in a movie called Concrete Cowboy with Idris Elba and Method Man. It's on Netflix, a few other outlets. I would suggest you check it out. It's a really good movie. But I want you to hear this poem and just give him a few minutes of time. And if you like it, I'll send you a link for it and you can let me know. But he's actually setting up to do some animation. But we'll get further on that. I'm going to see if I can get him on the podcast soon. But we're going to listen to this poem, Niggas and Flies. Please listen to it and tell me what you think on the other side.
I used to think I got to be a nigger because I'm black and I'm poor. But I don't believe that. Not anymore. But I remember being a child with my mama and her niggas would do her wrong. My mama would sing that same old song. Sometimes she would sing it with tears in her eyes. Sometimes she would sing it after a sigh. Niggas and flies. Niggas and flies. Niggas and flies. I never asked her what she meant, but I always wondered why my mama would compare a nigger to a nasty little fly. For years and years I wondered, what the hell was she talking about? Took me to go to prison to finally find out. See, with time to sit and think on what led me to the cell, it was all them things that made me a nigger that put me in living hell. See, flies are hypnotized by shit. They love it. But the difference between niggas and flies is flies only like shit that stink. Niggas like all kinds of shit. Now I'm going to tell you a kind. Just give me a second thing. Niggas like expensive shit. Niggas like fast shit. Niggas like cool shit. Then you got niggas in different places that use different words for the shit that put smiles on their faces. New York niggas call it fat shit. Philly niggas call it hot shit. D.C. niggas call it tight shit. Down there, the southern Ebonical grammar's what they use to spit, so the things they don't like, they call Bama shit. Now, where I come from, if a nigga don't like something, it's called bullshit or fuck shit or nut shit. And if a nigga do something to you and you ain't willing to stab him, kick him, stomp him, or kill him, it's called pussy shit, chump shit, or bitch shit. See, the thing at the number one spot is this. It's all ignorant shit. Because nigga shit is ignorant shit. Another thing I learned from jail is that it ain't only the brothers. Niggas come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. You got white niggas and black niggas, short niggas and tall niggas. Ignorance makes them all niggas. Now, to remain a nigga takes a whole lot of bravery, because being one makes you a prime candidate for modern-day slavery. See, the government's laws ain't hard to figure. They're designed to make it illegal to be a nigga. That's the game's rules. The tools they use are lack of books and nigga schools. Welfare and free health care to create dependent fools. America, the United States, are nigga warehouses. Because they breed niggas. Prison, the United Gates are nigga warehouses and they need niggas to fill them up. But what bother me is a nigga act like if you a nigga that you should be proud. Like you should stand on the roof and yell it out loud. But why should one be proud of being a nigga? Because you sell drugs to your brothers and sisters and pull triggers? Or maybe it's because niggas use sperm to make bastards in life. Fatherless children become niggas from lack of fatherly advice. Therefore, niggas make niggas. Or maybe a nigga should be proud because a nigga lies and a nigga steals and gives useless excuses like I needed that money to pay my bills. I got a $500 a month car bill. I got a $200 a month weed bill. I got a $300 a month cellular phone bill. After I finish paying those, I don't have money for my children's clothes, for my light bill, my water bill, my cable bill, my gas bill. For niggas, these problems are heavy weight because niggas ain't got their priorities straight. Ain't got food for the house but got a fresh pack of $10 cigarettes, and a nigga wouldn't be complete without a niggette. See, niggettes watch TV instead of watching her kids. Her answers to marriage problems is, get your ass in the bed. Tell her to get a job and she'll get very upset, enjoying the luxuries of the welfare check. More and more kids mean more and more money, but her children still go to school looking bummy. The food stamps buy choke sandwiches. The rest is traded for cash so she can buy some tight jeans to show off her ass. Well, you go, hun. One of them niggas killed your son to get your hair done. One of the others sold crack to your mother. Why'd he do that? To put that $800 coat on your back. Bring that to a nigga's attention and she'll feel bad, but use a song for a front and say, you got to use what you got to get what you want. Well, what you want. Well, what I don't want is to be a nigga anymore. But from a nigga to a black man is like fighting a war. Happy to be niggas that call you names and beat you down for trying to change. Instead of niggas and flies, maybe mama should have said niggas and crabs. See, because every time I try to get out the barrel, a nigga reaches out and grabs me and tries to pull me back. But you could take that leg, nigga, because I ain't having that. See, I learned that being a man comes with paying the price. So that leg you use to pull me back is the leg I sacrifice. I want to be a black man, not a nigger man, understand? Because nigger men cause misery while black men make history. Nigger men always make excuses for why they put their necks in nooses. Black men stand up like kings. A nigger will fall for anything. That's why I'm taking a stand. I ain't a nigger no more. I'm a proud black man. I'm a strong black man. I'm a wise black man. Understand? Fly niggas.
Oh, boy. Wow. Man, I love that poem. That poem is raw. It's raw. I dig that shit. And he talking about some of them slaps. Because some of the slaps we get come from each other, right within our own ciphers. And we ain't doing nothing about that, but we upset about what others are doing to us or may potentially do to us more than what we do to each other every fucking day. Accountability. Accountability. But I did want to get a discussion going. So don't be scared. What you got to say? What's on your mind? Don't leave me up here by myself. Somebody say something. I see quite a few people.
It's me, bro. I'm going to unmute. Just going to have to hear my car rolling a little bit. I'm almost home, though. But
you
I was
good.
Just sitting up here thinking about everything. Everything you were saying, talking about, you know, as usual, the same things we deal with, the unfairness in the justice system and all this stuff. And I had a thought. I was thinking, and it's crazy, but one of my favorite people in history, one of my favorite black women, was Billie Holiday.
Right.
Billie had her struggles, but Billie was real as fuck. You hear me? Billie
yes,
had her struggles. She struggled with addiction. But, man, like her story just makes me emotional on so I can't drive either, so if y'all hear me running off the road, mind your business. But her struggle, man, I cry every time I think about this lady, man, because, and this was such a beautiful person inside and out. She just went through so much pain. You know what I mean? and to know that constantly, this is a black woman. All she doing is singing. This ain't no black woman out here moving dope. She ain't out here making no big political moves. She had one song that they looked at as a threat, Strange Fruit. The federal government was after this lady for years, locking this lady up every chance she get, even putting drugs on this lady. Because she would not stop singing Strange Fruit.
Right.
So this, man, but this lady died handcuffed to a hospital bed because they planted drugs on her as she lay dying in the hospital. And they moved with, if she ever get up, we going to take her to jail. Because of a song.
Right.
Because of her singing the truth. It ain't even like she out here lying, because of her singing the truth. I say that to say this. It also made me put in mind how back in 1937 whatnot, or so, that's the same year my grandma was born. That was 80 years ago. That's the first time somebody finally said, you know, let's propose a bill to make lynching illegal in the United States. What's this year?
2021.
As of 2020, do you know there is still, lynching is still not outlawed in the United States of America? Based from southern states. So how do we even think we would get justice? We can't even get justice again. We can't even get them to say, okay, you lynch a black person, your ass going to jail. We can't even get them to agree upon that. So what makes you think? what makes you think anything else? They looking to give us right now. They are regressing, as you said. They trying to go back to Jim Crow era. You know, they trying to enforce all these Jim Crow laws and stuff again.
They're not trying anymore. So they're going back to Jim Crow.
It is still legal. You lynch. Man, I was looking over like some of the proposals that they actually proposed, and it was, you know, and the fact that anytime it's brought up, it's just dismissed because southern states, they get too much opposition from southern state senate. What kind of mess is that?
Well, that's your conservative party and the Republican Party. Those are your conservative Christians who want to go back to when it was cool to have slaves and go to church on Sunday and thank God for your slaves. You know, while them slaves was praying to that same God to be liberated. You know, now there's a quagmire, because considering how long it went on, made me wonder, you know, maybe God's got his own little choices on how he likes seeing shit. I don't know what to think about it. All I know is, where is a damn meteor when you need one? Because we're the worst thing that ever happened to this planet. People are fucking this planet up. If it was just animals on this planet, this would be a beautiful utopia, green as fuck. But instead, we got pockets where you can see the fucking air. They're telling you that the food that you're eating that they grow and fuck up on purpose is cheap so you can get it, because if you want good food, you got to pay more. And then you got to remember, you're buying it from the same motherfucker that's willing to sell you bad food. So, you know, in quantity. Why are the dollar menus at these restaurants? Because they know there's some poor people out here who ain't going to spend $10 for no fucking hamburger when they can buy one for a dollar. The question you got to ask yourself is that a fucking hamburger? You got to ask yourself what you're eating, to preserve all of the garbage, you know, which leads you to needing health issues taken care of. So where you at now in their medical system, which creates bills and more medical shit and stress, which can put your ass on a path to saying, you know what, fuck it. Go out there and do some dumb shit. Now you're supporting the prison system, and that's parole officers and judges and all of that shit, jail staff, you know. I mean, for us to be so expendable as they want us to think we are, it makes me think that without us, this shit don't even run. Without us, this shit don't even run, you know? It's that weird moment when the pawn starts to think, maybe I'm not a pawn. They just been telling me I'm a pawn, but I'm not a pawn. I'm actually a king. But they've limited my movement like they do with the king. This is why our queens are so important to our movement, because they have the wisdom that comes with that movement. And they can do a whole lot. But a patriarchal society has taught us to put them women as second class to some extent, or to think that they're weaker somehow, and I call bullshit on that. No society has ever been successful without their women being, you know, right there at to see the power with them. There are countries in the world right now that are run by women. You notice you're not hearing anything about these countries during the pandemic. You're not hearing any of those things, because they're coming at it from a whole nother standpoint in their thought process, and they are in a position to actually do something substantial, you know. So I see you, brother. I'm about to bring you on now. So, you know, we do realize the power of that. I guess my question is how do we stop the attacks that we have on each other long enough to get our act together so that we can actually be viable, not just to the system. I don't care about the system. We need to be viable to each other, economically, socially, and every other way. So how do we do that? Brother, I'm going to bring you on. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
Oh, peace, brother. Peace. Peace, family. Yeah, I want to go backwards for a minute.
You can do what you want, bro. Let it out. Do what you got to do.
With the Amber Geiger situation, and I'm just to a point with all the bullshit, because these cops. And not just these cops, some of these civilians as well, George Zimmerman, you know, get away with cold-blooded murder. Y'all were talking about lynching a minute ago, and it makes me think about Sister Melissa McKinney and what happened to her son. I mean, just a few weeks ago, you had the sister that they found to a tree. I believe a lot of the violence that's going on in Chicago as well is police involvement. These police and that qualified immunity, they should be held at a high standard, period. I'm a truck driver, and if I'm driving my personal vehicle, my ticket is higher because I am a professional driver. So if you are a person that is bound to uphold the law, you should be the one to follow the law to a T. And if you can't or don't, you should suffer a harsher penalty than just any regular civilian. Now, we got a situation where this is why I ain't got no more damn forgiveness in my heart, because in order to be forgiven, somebody has to atone. Somebody has to apologize. Somebody has to admit fault. And in all of these cases, you take a life, you take the life of a brother sitting in his house eating a bowl of ice cream on a Saturday night watching a football game, but now you want free. Well, that brother just wanted to eat his ice cream and watch his damn football game, Brother Bolton. But he couldn't do that because he was interrupted by some rogue-ass bitch, excuse my French, who had animosity towards him. Anyway, and my feelings are not going to change, because I truly believe, yes, she was tired of listening to the music. She was tired of listening to him singing. She had went to management numerous times. They didn't do anything, so she did. And that's what I think about that. George Floyd, another situation where you got a jackass who lays his whole body weight through his knee on a man's neck and feels like he should be free. He has already appealed his case. This Amber Geiger, right now, the hearing board is still hadn't come back with a decision, to my knowledge. And I just Googled it, Tuesday, because I'm waiting. Because I want to know what's taking them so long to tell her appeal is denied. And this Chauvin, I'm just to a point where if he doesn't get 20-plus years, which is what he deserves for what he done, I'm just, it's time for us to do something. Your question is a great question. Well, we got to eliminate the bad element within us and get to the good element within us that truly wants to do what's right, whether that be physically, mentally, financially, and we need it in every aspect. We need to stop sending our kids to their damn military to fight for their power and keep our kids at home so they can fight for our power. I ain't never had an uncle named Sam. Fuck Uncle Sam. And I don't knock any military person. I have the utmost admiration for anybody who put their life on the line for a government who doesn't give a damn about them, because our veterans are some of the worst treated individuals in the country other than us. And the homeless, and there are more homeless veterans that are out there than anything. And that's why I don't believe in going to war to fight a battle for their greed, because that's all it is. Like the situation that's happening right now in Israel, with that's America's puppet. Anything that America wants done over there, it goes through Israel. And I'm just this whole system. We have got to get in touch with each other. And then it all starts with conversation. It all starts by talking, sitting at the goddamn table, organizing ourselves, training ourselves, organizing our money. We can't do nothing without money. People be talking about revolution, revolution, revolution. How you going to finance a revolution and you don't want to donate 50 cents? It take more than 50 cents to fund a revolution. So I say, well, in a lot of ways, we ain't ready, and a lot of us ain't even trying to get ready. So we got to decipher those within ourselves who are truly serious about this fight. And just like those who oppose us, those internally would be, in my eyes, that same opposition, because if you're not for us, you're against us, and on that I use.
Brother, listen, I get banned on Facebook pretty regularly for my use of the word coon, you know, and I would call coons raccoons, but I don't want to diss raccoons. They just animals doing what they do. A coon is somebody who does what they do by choice. And cooning comes in a lot of different colors. It ain't just blacks. Anybody that's trying to suck up to the power structure only to get spit out when they get done with you. And it don't matter what color you are when that happens. You see, the show that I do, the podcast, the reason I do it is because, you know, poor whites, unfortunately, have been made to think that somehow they fit into the power structure no more than poor blacks or poor anything else. You don't get it. You don't have any money. Dave Chappelle said it best. Donald Trump didn't represent you. He represented Dave Chappelle, rich people. You know what I'm saying? So when I'm speaking, I don't really want to always have to put a color on it, because sometimes it ain't about the color. Sometimes it's about the class. Our system is a class system. It's no different than what's going on in India. That's why you see all of them fights over there and they do this. The reason they'll gang rape chicks and all of that shit is because they're from a different group. Now, to us, we don't know the difference because when we look at them, we just think they're, you know, Indian from India. But when they see each other, they see something totally different. And that's what classism is about perspective, how you're seen.
As opposed to what you are.
You know, so here is basically the same thing. Based on what you, your skin, or if you're female, or if you're, you know, you look Hispanic or Muslim or something else, then you're automatically targeted by some without ever opening your mouth or even making eye contact. That is not the racism part. That's the classism part. The racism comes in when you promote and push policies to keep these type of systems in line. Quick side note. Nancy Pelosi came out there, had all of them silly motherfuckers up there in Congress wearing kente cloth after we saw the George Floyd and the Breonna Taylor thing and all of these people out in the streets, and they couldn't do shit about it but get the National Guard there. That day, the Capitol was very well protected. Extremely. Nothing, not even a stone was thrown at that motherfucker that day. You know, so we know they can do what they choose to do when they choose to do it. Another slap, like I said, them not doing anything that day and us watching a bunch of what have been referred to lately as peaceful patriots, cop huggers, go up there, run up into place. I'm like, you know, I personally have never visited the Capitol. But I guess I need mountain climbing gear and other shit when I go because I didn't know that that's how you had to get in. All them damn steps there, so if people came there with mountain climbing gear, that tells me that they didn't expect to be allowed in the front door. I'm sorry, because the more I think about it, the angrier that shit makes me, you know. I got people that live in that area, and all of them were really in danger in some way because of what was happening at the Capitol. Suppose that they had all made it back to the hotel rooms and got their guns. Suppose they decided that they wanted to really make a stand. You know, what kind of day would it have been? You know, everybody came out on the news after that, oh, man, well, black people couldn't have did it. Of course we couldn't have done that shit. That's the day I learned I was not an American. Never felt free enough to do that. Hell, I can barely go get a goddamn sandwich at 1 in the morning, you know, in America without having to, you know, there's a certain amount of tension that comes with that. Something that Sister Kia said about Billie Holiday. I don't shit on no drug addicts in America. America is a drug addict. So I don't shit on no drug addicts here because America made you that. You're a product of your atmosphere. Okay? You are a product of your atmosphere. Now, it's up to you to change and come up out of that, do what you need to do. That ain't where you want to be, but if you are there, it's no different than drinking, food, porn, any other addiction that's out there. Everybody's got one. Everybody has a vice, and America is good at making sure that you can overload on your vice. Why would they do that? Because it distracts. And we're easily distracted. It doesn't take much to distract us. That's why we can never get no movement, because if you keep distracting us, then you can tell us it's movement. We haven't moved, but we keep getting distracted. And when we do that, then we actually stop being focused. And if we don't get focused, like white people were focused back in 1700s when they decided they was going to fight for this motherfucker. And to show you the hypocrisy, that's the one time that they stopped the slave trade was during the Revolutionary War, because they didn't want to seem hypocritical. But what did they do as soon as they won? That George Washington put niggas right back in the field and then headed west killing Indians. Forging America. That's why when they talk about forefathers, I don't want to hear that shit. Quick question. Why the fuck is Ben Franklin on anything? Why do they talk about Ben Franklin? Ben Franklin is on the money. He was never a real politician or any of that shit. I think they made him like a secretary or some shit. But, you know, I always wondered, why was he celebrated so fucking much? You know, when he was no different than the rest of them coke-loving motherfuckers. I'm thinking, if he was the scientist, he was the drug dealer. If anybody had cocaine back then, it would have been Ben Franklin. You know, the stories I read about him make me think, yeah, he had to be high. Who the fuck does the shit that he did? You know? And he's considered one of the great parts of America. You know, and he isn't. The greatest part of America, the American story, will always be what was forced from the degradation of slavery and the humanitarian crisis committed with genocide. Those things will always be what built America. I don't give a fuck about the DuPonts or the J. Paul Gettys or any of the rest of them. All of these motherfuckers did what they did off of the backs of slaves, and that's simple as it is. To hate us the way that this system does, and then to also trick white, poor whites into thinking that somehow they're better than a rich black. No. They see you the same way. You're poor. You know, your job is to go to work and spend all your money being poor, knowing that while you're doing that, it is benefiting some others who are living quite lavish and stress-free today. There was a saying about, you know, when the poor run out of things to eat, they'll start to eat the rich and the cupboard's bare. Anybody else that wanted to jump in? 718, your mic is open if you still wanted to get in and say anything. You're more than welcome.
Hello?
What's going on, cousin?
Hey.
Get you.
Just want to say it's a nice podcast.
Here.
The poem was great. I would love to know how to get it.
Actually, I can send you a link. I'll send you the link from now on when we do it. You can listen to it online, too. So I'll send you the link if you wanted to do that. Y'all, just transparency, that's my cousin. That's my blood. Okay, so first cousin, so... be nice. Don't nobody say nothing to make me have to send the Marines to see you. just saying, you know, we ain't trying to be ignorant today. So, but, yeah, cuz, if there anything you wanted to speak about, you know, you in New York. What's going on there?
Oh,
your governor, wished it was a year ago. He wished the pandemic had just started again. He was a fucking rock star back then.
Well, you know, I would say with the whole police reform, as far as for here in New York, it's something that needs to happen a lot sooner than later. I feel like the police across the country have become just their own gang and can feel that they can just go around and people of color, they can do them however they want to do. And my badge just says I can do that. And that's not what it means to be a police officer. You're supposed to serve and protect. Yeah.
Right.
And it's a very big problem in this country right now. And I feel all people of color, not just black, all need to get together and make some change in this country. And it doesn't happen unless we make some noise. And it's time to make some noise.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking to somebody about Bernie Getz not too long ago. And I was telling them, who was that? Troy Canty? Was he the one? I know it was one of them that was cool with, you know, with the fam. And it kind of bugged me when that shit went down, you know, how it went. But I was telling them even then, I watched how they dealt with Bernard Getz. And we're talking about in the 80s, you know. And I looked at how they dealt with him versus, you know, how they were dealing with other people. That was right around the same time that old lady got shot, Eleanor Bumpers, got shot being evicted. 67-year-old black woman. And this guy, this cop shoots her with a 12-gauge shotgun. You know, and I just, even then. Yeah, you know, I think people always thought New York, you know, the shows show everybody living together.
Yes,
but if
that
you
was
notice,
so
loud.
You know, great.
Yeah, they might be living around each other, but they ain't talking to each other like that. We all skeptical like a motherfucker, you know? So, and I was like, yeah, to be honest, a lot of days in New York, it was like being in Birmingham. It was no different to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And imagine the cops. The cops are racist as fuck. They didn't even want to live in the city. All of them lived out on Long Island.
Most of them, Long Island or Jersey.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want to live in the city. They come to the city to fuck shit up and then go home. Talk about how good they did today. So, yeah.
You know, it definitely needs to, you know, something needs to happen with the reform. And, you know, just like what you called earlier, saying that, you know, we have to get together. And it's true. We can't be against each other and think we're going to make change.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the quagmire for us, though. So, I mean, you know, how do we actually make that happen? Because, you know, in our own community, we reach out. Okay, let's say we do start reaching out to people. It's only so many doors you can knock on before you knock on the wrong door, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're in places where, you know, a place like New York where random acts of violence, you know, oh, and by the way, public service announcement, okay? If you see black people attacking any fucking Asians, sock them motherfuckers, please, okay? Help them out. That's
okay.
Quickly start the rehab on them, okay? You know, because that's some dumb shit. I don't care who it is, if you see someone attacking an old person, please make a citizen's arrest and make it a hard one. All right? Make it a hard one. Beat their ass and hold them for the cops. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't stand there. Don't film it. Don't take your fucking phone out. Okay? You know, do something. Act like it's your grandmother that they jump in. Do that, you know? Yeah, because there's a spot in hell for those who stand around and watch an old person get their ass whooped. No matter who they are. Remember that. Yeah, I was tripping that I seen, because I remember I asked you about that. You know, was it like all color doing it, you know, and they're showing mostly black people doing it, which bothers me because they're once again aiming the narrative at us, you know, as opposed to what it really is, which is everybody that's doing that shit, you know. So I don't know. I'm telling you. Whew. America.
I know.
This is a hard fucking place to be, man. I swear. It's too much extra shit, man. It's got to be easier in other places. You know what I'm saying?
We would want to think that.
No, because there's a lot of little shit you got to think about before you go out, you know? I thought about how many times I bought masks just because I forgot I had to take a goddamn mask. Because these lying sons of bitches can't just admit that they was fucking around trying to weaponize this virus and it got out, and now they can't contain it. You've shown us a million movies like this, except in the movies, you motherfuckers always got a plan. In real life, just tell us you had no fucking plan, okay? Just say it. It's okay, you know? Because if you tell us you didn't have no plan, I'll feel better about that, knowing that I'm on my own.
They're saying it's from a back suit,
tell
me
you got me. Right, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you ain't even got you. I'm thinking fucking Trump, when he got it, he went to Walter Reed. Herman Cain went to his fucking thing. He didn't give Herman Cain that shit. Dave Chappelle had me crying talking about how when the coronavirus saw Chris Christie, you know, how immediately the coronavirus was like, everything that it wants is in Chris Christie, you know? And notice, he didn't offer them nothing to try to help them at all. He let them suffer. And what I'm tripping on right now, and I kind of want to take a quick second to talk about this, is a song by Living Color called Cult of Personality. I suggest and I ask everybody to please listen to that song. Go on YouTube, put it in, and listen to it, thinking about what we just went through for the past 4 years. Because that song tells pretty much everything. Everybody text me right now. I'm sorry. I want everybody to listen to that song. Because the song basically lays out everything that Trump is. You know, he exploits them. They love him more. You know, he knows their anger, knows their dreams, all of that shit. He's everything they want to be. Cult of personality. And he ain't the only one. Kennedy, all the rest of them, they were all that. That's what really this comes down to. It's no substance at all in the system. There's no substance. Right now, this shit is going to wind up falling just like Greece, like Persia, like Rome. Look at what Rome is today. Rome is a village in Italy, okay? Just saying. Just saying. And America is showing its weaknesses. Some hackers just decided to shut down the pipeline. How? Some motherfucker blew himself up down there in his Hummer trying to hoard gas.
Wow.
You know, this is where we at now, you know, that people are like taking, I don't mind being a little prepared, but if you don't have the containers to hold petroleum, then you might not want to just put it in bags because it's going to eat through the bag. And you're driving, any sparks is going to blow your shit up. Putting it in tubs and riding with it in your truck, that's not smart either. None of that shit's going to really fucking matter, you know. But I'm looking at how they hacked into that. You know, what happened in Texas earlier in the year, you know, they you know, man, we'll control our own power. You know, until you don't have none. Now what you going to do, motherfucker, you know? Right. All right? You got people that ain't used to snow having to deal with fucking snow. Cold shit. Worst time of the year. These people killing themselves, bringing the grill. Just bring the grill on inside. Fuck it. No, don't do that. You're going to kill yourself. Okay, don't do that. You know, it's some shit that could have been done that could have staved that off. So the more they show you that they're not really prepared, why are we buying into them being able to protect us when they can't even protect them?
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Anybody that's got one for that, yeah, I'm fucking waiting. Feel free to jump in. Let's treat it like second grade. Shout it out when you know. Fuck it, you know? Yeah, see, that's what I thought. No answer, you know? No answer. You know, ain't none. Actually, there is one. The answer is that we stop fucking around and we treat this like a brand new day. And this day, we actually sit down at the card game table and we play spades without a 5-minute argument about the rules. We just actually sit down and play because we all get on the same page and make it just fun to play rather than it happened to be, you know, because that's where we fuck up is we always come in and we want to affect shit or lead shit or whatever. And I'm thinking, no, man, that's what's got us here. That's the thinking that got us here. We got to get out of that. A tribe moves the way it moves because it's really a tribe. The chief might be the one driving, but the tribe will decide if he's going to be chief. When the tribe doesn't have no power, then the chief is more than a chief. Then he's a dictator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason you select the chief is because that's who you trust. They don't just get it by default or by design. The people, once the people have no power, then you're under a dictatorship. No matter how liberated they tell you you are. Let me bring my brother on real quick. All right, Brother Ozzy, I believe that's you. What's going on, brother man?
Hey, peace and blessings to the family. How's everybody?
I can barely hear you, brother.
You can't hear me?
It's low, like real low. How's everything?
It's good. It's good. Let me adjust.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
A lot better. Mm-hmm. There you go. I thought we was going to have to send help, but go ahead. Now you're good.
No, I was just saying some of the stuff that you all spoke about.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm like, I think at this point nothing surprises me, so, I'm just saying it is what it is. You had everybody panicking over gas the last couple of days, and I was just like, look, they told y'all it wasn't going to affect the people in this area, but, by last
right.
night, a lot of the gas stations in D.C. were out of gas. They didn't have gas. So, I
right.
had to get my gas out of town, and I only got
yeah.
it because I was working and I needed to get it. Other than that, they said by Friday everything will be back to normal. But my thing is that, to me, it was just a money grab by these oil companies,
mm-hmm.
That's
what I'm
to basically recoup some of the money that they lost back in 2020 when nobody was driving.
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
That's all it is to me, because my thing is, it was really that serious. I'm not saying the hack didn't happen, but I'm just saying, a lot of stuff, to me, there's no coincidences. Things happen for a reason, and I'm like, still proudly not vaccinated. I've survived since 2019 when I already saw this pandemic coming, just by doing the minor things, of keeping your hands clean, being clean, keeping, your area sanitized and stuff. That's fine with me. That's
mm-hmm.
something that, we were basically raised to do, that sort of thing. Watching,
yeah.
The type of foods that you eat, keeping your immune system up. A lot of us have been already on that. So my thing is that I'm not saying I can't be affected by it, but my thing is that, I think that they made it worse than what it really was. That's
I think
all I'm
so.
Say about
no,
that.
My mother,
I'm
my
say,
mother
as far as
had it in a nursing home and beat it.
Right.
My
and
mother
I,
had
really,
COVID,
I feel
bro.
Like I had it last year when I got sick mysteriously, and I didn't know what I was sick from.
Yep.
I got better, So I
yep.
was like, I think I already had it for real. But, I'm going to leave that right there, and I'm not faulting anybody for, doing what they need to do to feel safe or whatever. Go ahead and do what you do. But the thing that
yeah.
I ask doctors all the time, and I speak to them, I'm like, well, will the vaccine stop me from catching COVID? They say no. And I say, all
right,
so
right.
what are you talking about?
It's just like a bulletproof vest don't keep you from getting shot. Hello.
Right. I just, keep it moving. So, as far as the rest of it, the attacks on Asians and stuff, I can't cape for them, but I will say that if I did see
this
somebody attacking an old person,
them,
I would
bro.
Step
this
in.
This is about caping
I would step in.
And, it ain't caping for them. It's about us. Who we are, we have to define that. We can't allow that to be defined for us. I feel I know you well enough to know that you would kill somebody if they touched your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
no
you would hope if somebody attacked her out in public that if anybody able-bodied was around, that they would do something about it. I'm just saying, if you're seeing an elderly person, being attacked out there, I don't care what race they are, Unless you at a Klan rally, that's the only time I want you to keep your fucking hands to yourself. Okay? Let them kill each other. That's what they want to do. But anybody else, you
oh,
have to give them the same
saying.
Benefit of the doubt that you'd want. You know what I mean?
What I am saying is that they're not
human
telling the public.
In spite of what we're dealing with. That's all I'm saying.
That a lot
our
of
humanity
people
can't
that
be
are
dictated
here,
by the system because it has no humanity.
What I'm saying is the narrative. As far as the narrative goes, Fuck them. I don't care. I care about my people. Because I don't see people out here coming out here caping for my people. We even got Palestinians talking about black people feel like they're special, you know, because they're more special. Their lives matter more than Palestinian lives. And that's
but
the person
the
that said that got dragged on Twitter for saying that. A lot of black people came out and said, look, you know, don't attack us. Attack your oppressor. Attack the one that's oppressing you. Attack the one that's dropping bombs on your children. I said, you can't compare what you're going through with what black people have gone through and are going through. And to me, that was another plant because now they got us fighting with the Palestinians when we're actually on the same side.
But at the same time,
well,
that's kind of like doing what they do. They take all black people and categorize all black people. Because when I see these Black Lives Matter rallies and when a black person is killed by a police, I look on the news, I see black people out there, I see white people out there, I see Asian people out there, I see Mexican people out there. I see all kind of people out there rallying for us. So that's kind of doing the same thing they do when you say, you know, what they do. You have some, of course, you have ignorant people of all race. And then if I allow my mind to get me to the point to where I'm like, fuck them, I'm just as ignorant. I'm just like them because that's the same thing they do. They look at all black people. You can have a black man come down the street in a business suit. This black man, a multimillionaire, all you looking at him and see is nigga because of his coat.
But this man
may be a doctor.
America,
he's
right.
Saving lives every day. But you judging him based off
that's,
his skin color.
But my thing is that that's how they treat us. What I'm saying is this. I'm like, I'm not fighting for anybody else's causes. I'm worried about my own people's causes. I'm not fighting for anybody else's causes.
No, I get it, but I'm not talking about this ain't to stop an old person from getting beat up in the street has nothing to do with cause. This is just about humanity.
All that's beside the point because that's natural human instinct. If I see somebody being
attacked,
that's
what I want people to do. I don't want people to fight their natural human instinct. That's what I want.
My thing is this. The people that are creating this narrative that black people are out here attacking Asians, they're not telling you that a lot of these people that are being attacked, the attacker has mental issues. They're not putting that part in it. You're crazy if you're out here attacking old people. Something is wrong with you if you're out here attacking old people.
That's my whole thing about it. I don't care what the reason is. My grandmother could have spit in a motherfucker's face. Okay, I still would have a problem with, you know, people standing around letting her get her ass whooped, and she's elderly,
right.
Obviously elderly. There is a problem there. That's why my humanity would kick in. If I find out later that this bitch runs the local Planned Parenthood and says nigga every morning, well, okay, and they got one. They got one. But my humanity is intact because my humanity says if I see someone in distress to do something to not have to help them out of that distress, because I would hope the same thing would happen to me. Karma always makes its round, whether we're ready or not.
Word to that. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. This ain't about causes.
Look, I have issues.
I understand the dynamic between the Asian community and the black community, but I understand that one of the two communities actually is doing what they're doing on culture. We're doing what we do because we were taught to do that.
Right.
It ain't in our natural instinct. Everything about us has been warped. And we're still trying to figure it out. We're as off balance as a goddamn junkie after a hit. We are off balance, but notice if you know anything about them junkies, they never fall. They never fall.
What do you mean? What do you mean off balance though? Because my whole thing
if I can't walk down the street
without an old Chinese man picking up a stick, acting like he's going to hit me because he think I'm going to attack him, you know. Now, if he attacked me and I'm defending myself, then it is what it is.
If he picks up a stick,
my thing is,
before you've done anything, You have license to whoop that ass. I get it. I'm not talking about that, though. I'm talking
right,
about
imagine,
you just minding
imagine,
your business and seeing
imagine,
something happen.
Imagine how they're going to twist that if they see it on the news. All y'all going to see is a black man whooping a Chinese man's ass.
Well, yeah, that's
now,
the clip they
here's,
too.
Here's
that's
another
why
one out here attacking them.
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I've seen about five of those clips, and each of the clips I saw was usually a bigger black dude on some little old Chinese lady. Now, the one I saw was a lady who attacked two Chinese women. I don't know what was going on there, but she had a hammer, I believe, some shit like that. And I'm thinking, all right, let's say for argument's sake, all of these people did have some sort of issue prior. Let's just do that for argument's sake. All right, then, if that's the case, plan your work and remember there's cameras every goddamn where. That's all I can say on that. I'm not trying to save anybody's cause or jump on anybody's boat or any of that. I'm already on the one I'm going to be on. I don't even, you know, I'm where I'm at. What I was talking about simply is from the humanistic thing, because I feel like in our fight to get justice, we get away from our own humanity at times. And we can't do that because then we become them. And I'm refusing to do that. They've already tried to turn me into them, and that seasoning just ain't going to take for me. It bounces off. It can't stay. I can't have it. It's not healthy. It's toxic. Toxic. So
I'm not turning into them, but I will say that I only show love to those who show me love. If you show me love, then I'm willing to show you love. If you don't show me no love, then I'm not going to waste my energy showing you love. That's all. That's all it is. Now, my thing is that I see too many occasions of where, you know, I'm invisible to certain people, to their culture. So that's why I only worry about my people. And my thing is that if my people continue to go out here and basically give their money to the Asians, and the Asians never, you know, reciprocate by, you know, helping us out, I'm like, so what are we actually doing then? We're just giving our money away. You'll never see an Asian person go into a black business and support that black business. And it goes down to economics. It's not about hating and doing what we need to do for humanity, because we're the most humanistic people on this planet, because we help everybody.
It was an Asian man who gave the Black Panthers the guns they used on the Capitol steps back in the 60s.
Right, and he turned out to be an FBI agent.
Well, shit, aren't they all?
Right.
Everybody's
you know,
in charge
so
away from being a goddamn agent, okay? Look at William O'Neill.
All
yeah.
Right. Look who
But I get you all's point, though. I'm saying I get you all's point. I get you all's point.
Black man.
And I wouldn't let no old person be out here being attacked.
Well, it depends. If it's that old bitch that got Emmett Till killed, shit, I might jump in.
She already dead. She died in Ocean Springs a couple of years ago down here in Mississippi.
Man, they can dig that bitch up. I didn't get mine.
She died a couple years ago. About
okay,
4 or 5 years ago, they don't die right there in Ocean Springs.
I hope she's burning.
Right, hot. I want that bitch to think she in a Mortal Kombat video game and Scorpion just won't stop lighting her ass up, okay?
It was on her deathbed when she just had to clear her conscience and say how she lied.
That ain't clearing your conscience to me. No, she lived with it for all of them decades, knowing
right.
what she did. So saying it at the end of life, no, if anything, that should get you another 1,000 years of eternal damnation on top of whatever you had. You know, just for saying that stupid shit, knowing you don't mean it, you know. So, no. I'd have felt better if she'd have said it, you know. Well, I'd have felt better if she'd have never had gotten him fucked
right.
up anyway.
Never
but lie. That was one of the things that was a power back during when making, you know, the great America that Trump wants to recreate. Was an America where that could happen and there was no real incident because they like to tell you numbers. Well, this many people were hung in Mississippi from this time to this time. I'm like, please. They didn't keep count. Hey, Clinton, how many niggas we hang last week? You know, we got to report this, so this way they'll have accurate stats. Fuck out of here, man.
Right. 9 times out of 10, especially now, they claim it's suicide. They don't even count it as a mention.
Oh, we you know, and so, you know, like I said, I look at, there's the point, here's what was funny when I was going to school. I started, that's what made me kind of want to know people a little bit better, because some of the teachers that I had, I could look at these people and tell that they were alien to anything that was going to be good for me, okay? And yet they were in a position to where they had some authority, you know, they could, you know, make it a little rough for you. I thought about one teacher that used to always call my mother with everything. Everything. Oh, he didn't bring his pencil today. He didn't do this. And, you know, my mother was a regular black woman in the 70s. You know, please don't blow her high. I don't need that shit. You know what I'm saying? Okay, you know, but here we go. You know, and I didn't think about it fully until I got grown, how some of my teachers that I had teaching me were complete fucking racist. And not all of them, but some were. And, you know, the effect that they had. My thing is you know, what makes you laugh will make you cry. And you can learn something from everything, you know. And what we need to do is we need to be better at kind of knowing what we're dealing with a lot quicker, especially if you're in those places where those people are prevalent. And there's a lot of them, you know. Funny thing was, the last few times I was in that I've been called a nigger, or the word nigger was used like that around me, I actually was in the middle of fucking New York City on 68th Street and Lexington Avenue, right by Hunter College. I'll never forget it.
Wow.
Yeah. And this motherfucker came out the train station. Oh, we tuned his ass up. Don't get it twisted. But it was just the thought that this motherfucker came out of that stairwell talking nigger. And I mean, he was talking shit. I wish the motherfucker, fuck nigger. And next thing he know, we sent him back down the stairs. And then we came down to help him up, you know. So you know what it is. That was a different person back then. Don't judge me. You know what I'm saying? But he had that one coming. But I had to think about where I was at. I was like, wow, I was in North Carolina and I ain't hear it like that. So I had to remember it's not regional. It's international. Fucking international, you know. But what I do notice is that we've been shaped. We've been warped. That's what I meant when I said that we're off balance. Because if we were on balance, there's no way we would stand for what the fuck's been going on to us for all of this time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean when I say we're off balance. Because we have the biggest example of what happens when you're on balance. And that's the oppressive system that we pay tax to every fucking day. You see, they were committed to their cause. They were determined not to allow themselves to be told what to do or who they are or any of that shit. We're the fucking assholes that allowed ourselves to be treated like this, to where we love our little jingles. Ain't we lucky we got 'em? Do, 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 do. Is that who we really are? Is that who we really are? You know. New Jack Hustler. Is that what we really are? We've been defined. Now we got hip hop that ain't got no fucking words to it. I don't even know what the fuck they're talking about. They half of them, the shit's auto-tune, whoever came up with it need their ass whooped. T-Pain, it should have stopped there, okay? At least he could talk. I don't know what the fuck's going on right now. But music is a very important medium, especially for our youth. If we can't even understand it, what the fuck do you think they making out of it? So So I don't know what's really going on with us, but we need to figure this shit out because our youth are the ones suffering. They was all in the streets last year, and half of them don't know why. What the fuck did we do to keep them from having to be in the streets? I'll wait. Oh, don't all jump in. Y'all crashing into each other. Anybody? What did we do to keep them from having to go through any of that? What did we do other than set up a situation and help perpetuate it to where now you have to say that Black Lives Matter? Don't you feel disrespected when you have to say that Black Lives Matter? Because that led to Blue Lives Matter. All lives matter. Latino lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
I just figured, you know, I don't know. I was just thinking, don't life matter? Just life.
Right.
Does it need to have an adjective in front of it? But I don't know. Maybe that's me, man. You know, shit. Don't blame me. Blame your Jesus or your Allah, whoever the fuck you think created us. Whatever. Not
the
my
struggle
fault.
Stopped. We didn't continue. We didn't keep fighting. We stopped. We got comfortable.
Keep talking. Keep talking. I see a steak dinner in your future. So that's it.
We forgot what we came from. We were kings and queens, and we forgot that. And
yeah.
This is why we're in this situation right now.
That's it.
We should have continued
Common
the fight of Matt Turner. We should have continued that fight.
Right. Common said it in his song he got called Play Your Cards Right. I suggest you check it out if you have it. He said, remember, we were kings back in the day. Still can be, depending on the cards you play.
No, you know.
So I think that we need to regroup and get ready to really troop the right way instead of this scattered approach, because it's the system is watching us scatter, and the system does everything it can to make sure that we keep scattering. It will tell this one that this one said this. It'll do everything necessary to keep us scattered. And as we start shattering those illusions and see that, you know, what's really going on, my problem with shattering the illusion is that if you don't have anything backing that up, what are you going to do after you've shattered your illusion? Now that you can see that you've been, you know, as Trump likes to say, hoaxed, what you going to do about it?
Oh.
You going to let them keep hoaxing you? Or will that coax you to hoax them? And get your motherfucking nuts back. And that's the thing that I just like, you know, my brother says it a lot. He says, we need each other. And we better start acting like it. I got another call I want to bring on. We still got about 30 minutes. So 918, your mic is open. State your name and your thoughts.
My name is Angela, and I had lived in Tulsa, Oklahoma for the longest time. And at the end of this month, they're having the 100-year anniversary of the 1921 race massacre, which used to be caused by it. There's a march that's being planned. Forget the gentleman's name. He announced it yesterday. They're bringing 1,000 armed African Americans to march down the streets at what is known as Black Wall Street.
Your phone is going in and out a little bit. I'm very interested in what you're saying. You said there's someone has set up a march. Okay, there you go. Much better.
Yes.
You said someone set up a march in Tulsa. You're talking about the Tulsa riots back when for the Black Wall Street when that was burned down.
Right. It's called a massacre now. My friend started the Black Wall Street.
Well, no, that's just what they're calling it. I'm just letting you know. But this will be a march of people carrying their guns. It's open carry in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Specifically they're calling for African-Americans to show up and show out. I was just wondering if you've heard of that and do you know of any groups of your affiliation that might be going. I document events, so I'm pretty mm-hmm. excited for this event.
I hear that. And it sounds like it's a pretty nice, like it's going to be nice. I had heard something, some talk about there being some sort of a commemoration for that day.
Correct.
Didn't realize that there was a call for armed, like, black militia type things. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes, to march. They're getting a permit from the city. They were in Tulsa, Oklahoma yesterday. I'm so embarrassed I can't remember the name of the group.
But
they show up at different places.
Emmett Walt.
In
is
fact,
that
right?
That's it.
Yeah, in fact. Hey, Velvet. Anyway, okay, yeah. In fact, have you had a chance to speak with any of the In Fact members yet?
I wasn't in Tulsa yesterday. I wanted to speak with them, and I don't know very much about their group, but it's become very gentrified. This commemoration is very gentrified. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how gentrified it is. It was nice to see the population affected to be more in a – I don't know what the right word is. It's not leadership. It's where they're making their presence known. I like that.
Well, I mean, all groups are affected. If any group is being, you know, messed with, all groups are affected by that because, you know,
sure.
As the Christians say, therefore, by the grace of God, go I. So, you know, they all have, you know, we all have a dog in the race, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. And it's good to acknowledge the history. However, America's problem is not that they commemorate things, it's just that they have done so many things to have to commemorate, if that makes sense.
I understand.
Yeah, so
but I think
as far
this
as
was
fact,
a unique
I don't want to rain on anything with it. In fact, so I'm gonna be diplomatic in how I approach that.
Okay.
Me and In Fact, we're Panthers, okay? We follow that creed more than we just want to be weekend warriors with our guns. And, you know, we're not about asking permission from a system that gives itself permission. Because that's the kind of freedom I want. I want that freedom. So a group like In Fact in no way, shape, or form will ever help me achieve what I'm looking for. It's the nicest thing I can say about that. Yeah.
Well, that was a good
way
to say it.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not trying to take away from anything that might, you know, they may be trying to do. But my thing is if you have a force that you want to show off, but yet there's things happening in these neighborhoods and none of your people are around and, you know, and you have all of this hardware, you know, and you guys are doing a lot of practicing at the gun range and that's great, you know, and all of that, you know, it's nice and you got your little camps that, you know, you're, you know, practicing, you know, at least this summer yet, you haven't shot anybody in your own group yet. That's a good thing too. However, if you're not using that in the communities, this same issue I have with Black Lives Matter and a few others, that they don't do the things in the neighborhood that needs to be done and make their presence felt there. When the leader of Black Lives Matter is out shopping for humongous homes, when there are a lot of people who are, especially after last year, homeless right now.
and you're getting all of these donations in, then why aren't you trying to help make sure that some of these people are not, you know, being so adversely affected and show them that Black Lives Matter? Because if you have to say Black Lives Matter, in my thinking, that means Black Lives don't matter. Because you have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how often do you hear
white
lives?
Action teams are helpful.
I'm sorry?
I said action teams are helpful, where they have a focus. You know, they have a goal they need to accomplish. You know, maybe it's making tiny homes, you know, going into the city council and making grievances known to affect public policy. These are the things that our young people need to learn.
Yeah, but what that also teaches them is to start working on a very slow system that's even slower about change. Problem is that to get anything done in America, you have to set up these little task forces and committees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to keep talking about it while it's still happening, you know. And this is almost like, you know, having a family meeting during the middle of a home invasion. Not a good time to start preparing.
That is a very good explanation.
You know, so, you know, if you're preparing, if you see what's going on, and as a member of the city council or any of that, and you're not trying to put bills forward, you're waiting for people to complain about the crime rate. You're waiting for people to come to tell you, hey, man, a lot of crime out here. Well, why did you run in the first place? Didn't you run because you was going to stop some of that shit? So to me, it's hollow to show somebody how to fail. And that's what this system does, is set everybody here up to fail. Those that actually do get to succeed is because they dig and get a little bit deeper, or they get that name, or they got the family connection, or a few things like that. But a lot of them, they got to dig way, way, way deeper to get to that level of success. And then what happens? The same system that shits on you then takes your money and uses it to tell you they're protecting you, while they're really just lining their own pockets and trying to make sure that you think you have rights while they're taking them away, and you're still paying for it. It's kind of like how they got us tracked. We pay for our tracking device. Some of you have the nicest tracking device they have. How much did your phone cost?
Well, thank you for answering my question. I was just curious.
Well, no, I appreciate you. Actually, I believe in each one and teach one. And the only thing I really wanted to do for you was to give you a few mental grenades. They'll blow up. They'll blow up later. You seem like a learned person that likes to think. And some of the things you've heard, I'm sure they will make you probably dig a little bit deeper. That's the whole purpose of our conversation.
That's good.
But I appreciate you. Let me ask you something. What do? You said you are in journalism or what?
Well, I just document events. Some of my pictures have been the Rachel Maddow Show, the Black Wall Street Times.
Okay.
I haven't done a lot of work since the pandemic in a family matter. So, but I'm getting back into it, and I've done a lot of research and found that the Klan is very, very strong in Tulsa. It's the richest Klan in America. They have a billionaire that is supporting them. So I try to stay behind the scenes.
Most of them have a money guy. According to Morris Dees, there are several that, you know, are actually the only reason the Klan is still even talked about, because they have the money to kind of keep it going. The Aryans and some of the other, the Aryan Nation and the Hammerskins and some others, they don't have as much of the money. They have a lot of support, but not that millionaire and billionaire thing, you know? Yeah, I'm glad that you called. What was your name again? I'm sorry, because it skipped when you first came on. Hello? Now it kind of went back. Oh, there you go.
Okay, let me go back here. Is this better?
Yeah, much better. Okay, I'm sorry. What was your name again,
dear? Sorry. Angela, and I'm in the woods right now. That's why my connection's so bad, but it's a good show that I was listening to.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. No, I'm glad that you're able to come on. I appreciate you. You know, the thing is, it's an open platform, and it's an open forum. You know, if you are looking for some things within the, you know, as far as to events and things like that, I'll be glad to let you know. I have an email if you want to send me an email.
Okay.
I'll let you know what's going on, but it's Kay Crosby, KCROSBY44@gmail. Just send me an email.
44@gmail.
Yes, at gmail.com, yeah. And, yeah, I'll give you some things. There's some other things going on that could use a spotlight, you know. Some food programs going on where people are actually helping, you know, especially during the past year. Can you imagine how much food it took to help a lot of people out, you know. So there are some who set up food programs. There are others who tried to set up rental assistance things, and they got no exposure whatsoever. And those were, to me, were the real heroes, because and rather than sit and cry about it, they actually got up and did something. Can't be mad at that, you know. Yeah, that's what I want people to see. Those who want to just march and talk shit into a mic, y'all can have at that. They've been doing that for a long time. Grassroots, even though it is the system that provides the seed and the land, it's up to you what you do with that, you know, and what comes out of it. So it's on us. At the end of it, we can't ask for accountability unless we're willing to be accountable. It's kind of like court. Can't go in with dirty hands. You know what I mean? I still got about 20 minutes left. Did anybody have anything they wanted to add? It's still an open rant, so, you know, I'm still mad about everything I was mad about an hour and 40 minutes ago. So
I actually had heard about that. I heard him talking about that march. Festivities, yeah, that's going to happen in Tulsa. When I was in Oklahoma City earlier today, where the anniversary is from May 31st through the 1st of June, I believe. That's been, marks the 100 years of it. You just think about that situation right there, and you see what we can do. You know, and the thing is, I don't know, I've been just listening here, you know, the last few minutes. I don't think we are fearful. I think we're scared to do what needs to be done, and I say that in this type of a way, because some of us are not truly ready for the independence that comes with that. And I tell anybody that I know, you know, we've got to get ourselves ready for control, because you can see what's happening right now, and the powers that be are falling to pieces right now. And it would be nice if we had a strong enough group of men who really did band together, train together, and were militarized and were weapons experts and all of that. It would be nice to have that could actually go to these cities and make sure that they see that there can be consequence, not to just render consequence, but to let them know that we are going to start demanding justice, because that is really what we need to start doing. You think about the Tulsa district back in the day, and they were flourishing. They wasn't begging. And what killed that was envy, greed, built on a lie. And if you look at a whole lot of the cases, it always boils down to that damn devil in the blue dress. It's always got something to do with some white woman. I'm just speaking for me, but ain't nothing a white woman can do for me, period. And I'm sure that back in the day, a lot of brothers were the same. I mean, not just that it was forbidden. I mean, really, truly, what's the attraction? The older they get, they start looking like men. I'm sorry. But I'm not sorry. I mean, they age terrible. Time ain't on their side. Why do we keep wanting to intermingle with people that have openly and still to this day openly practice hatred? And I'm not condemning them all, but there is an element that we have got to deal with. I mean, and like the sister said, you know, it's time for us to deal with it. You know, it's past time. I heard you say my slogan. Yeah, because we do. We need each other. We got to realize how much and recognize how much we need each other, and then realize our power, because we put that Jim Crow Joe in that claim black when it's beneficial vice president in office. So we should recognize our power when we come together. And when we come together, yeah, we are powerful. But the problem is we'll come together, but we won't stay together. See, because right now what we should be doing, because you done saw this White House pass an anti-Asian hate bill, but what have they done for us yet? They helped the LGBTs out already. But what have we got? And I'm truly about what will we get. And I'm not about so much, because I want us to be able to get something of our own. Every time we get something, everybody gets something. We have never gotten anything where it's just we get this. And we need that jump start, per se. And I'm not saying, I'm to a point where I'm tired of begging. And if we were to truly buckle our stuff tight enough, we could dig ourselves out of this hole and stop having to beg them for reparations, not saying that we don't deserve them, but we can start reparating ourselves, and then we can build that foundation that our children can stand on, because that's the weaker generation. We got to give them the wisdom, and with the intellect that they have, no telling where they'll take the small ideas that we build on now to in the next few generations. But we got to give them something to stand on. I yield.
Well, a couple of things. I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute. Well, no, fuck that. That's not really what I'm doing. We're not a we. That's the biggest part of the problem. We're not a we. It ain't our. We didn't do anything. With this, no. The only thing we have done is completely be apathetic about our situation. We've become very comfortable within it. We've allowed it to be dictated to us what we are, what we're capable of, our limitations, our dreams, our hopes. We've been addicted to all of the crap put out there, sex, drugs, everything else. You know, so no, there's no we, there's no our. Everything that we and our is negative, because we don't put in a real effort to become we. You know, we don't realize that our combined survival counts on us becoming we. And our, you know, children will be basically misled like we were. You know, so we have to get some shit going on our end. Everybody needs to extend about 10% more than you normally would to do the things that, you know, need to be done. Reach out to some folks. If that's what you need to do, talk to them. It doesn't hurt, you know. you know, do what you got to do. But until we start making the small moves to become we, our situation will get worse and worse because they're showing it. And it's costing us more and more for this terrible situation we find ourselves in, you know. It's sad, but that's really, you know, the state of the black agenda. It's been basically put to the wayside. Right now, we're watching some of the craziest shit. White people furious with white people. The last time that happened, there was a civil war in this country. That's why I suggest, even if you never thought about prepping, prep a little bit. It won't hurt. It might save your life. You just have to, you know, a few things you need. You know, you need water, food, heat, shelter, things like that. Prepare, because in a war situation, your comforts will mean nothing to anyone but you. Remember that. You know, and right now, everything is pointing towards an explosion. And if you're not, even if for those who get their news through Facebook, even you got to feel that there's an undercurrent there, some things that ain't being said, you know, shit like that. Think about it. What they tell you is just as important as what they say nothing about. The media controls the way that we see shit if we trust the media. I don't trust them, not for the same reason as Donald Trump. Donald Trump don't like them because he likes to be in them, but he wants to be revered, and they like to shit on him because it sells more papers. You know, it ain't even personal, it's business. But he doesn't see it that way, so he's used to attacking. He's that third grader that plays with all the first graders, but he never plays with other third graders because he want to be the biggest kid at the party. You know, he want his word to go, and if not, then he'll do what he got to do to make sure everybody knows he's the word. But he could never be that with his peers, you know. I mean, think, the Republican Party is chasing a guy who, when he went to the G8 summit, they was laughing at his ass. Saturday Night Live did a skit that was like that fucking, what was that, Saved by the Bell shit, where they had him sitting all by himself while the rest of the leaders was joking about him. This is the guy that they're following. Cult of personality. Tells you there's no substance. So when there's no substance, then fluff is fluff. Okay? Fluff is fluff. You know, it's garbage. We got to be better than fluff. You know? So, I appreciate the time. We got 7 minutes left, so I don't know if anybody had anything they wanted to throw in before we close out. I do appreciate everybody being on and everybody that was listening online. Big shout out to my boy, Rizun. All right. Anybody that wanted to say anything, still got 6 minutes left.
Yeah, well, what you said, brother, about apathy. Apathy, that's how we got here. And apathy, if people don't know what that means, it means not really caring about the situation that you might find yourself in. And
right.
It's definitely time for people to you know, start caring. And I do believe that people do care. And I believe that it's not all people. And when I say black power and black empowerment, I'm talking about empowering my own people. It doesn't mean I hate any other race. People get the wrong idea about that. And other people that understand what I say, they get it. And those are the people that I can work with. And it doesn't matter what race you're from, but when I say I'm black first and I say black empowerment, I'm talking about my own folks. I'm not talking about anybody else's situation. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our people have drank the Kool-Aid and they, you know, become comfortable in the situation. In the meanwhile, we have people coming at the black race from all sides. You know, the anti-black hate is worldwide. It's not just happening here in America. It's happening everywhere. And I just need for people to see, open their eyes and see that. This system called capitalism, it needs underclass to make it work. And you said something earlier, brother. You was like, this system wouldn't work without us. You're right. It wouldn't. Because this system needs an underclass of people. It needs almost downright slavery to work. That's why they're begging people to come back to work now, because, you know, they're seeing that the people were getting all this money from the government to basically not to stay home but to cover their expenses. And even that money that they're giving the people is still not enough. But my thing is that the people at the top, at the elite, the government, the Congress, they never missed a paycheck throughout this pandemic. They never missed a paycheck. They had everything that they needed. So this time off from going to work, going to school, whatever, has opened many people's eyes. And people want to say, oh, people are out here being lazy or whatever. They don't want to go to work to get their money. They want the government to give them everything. That might be the case in some points, but my thing is that if you're dependent on the government to give you your daily bread, you're fucked up anyway. Excuse my French, but that's what it is. My thing is that if you haven't used this time to really study and open your eyes to what's really going on and what's really being done to society, because right now we're basically the communists that we've always been afraid of. And my thing is that we need to recognize that part of it, that, you know, we're moving into fascism faster than we think we are. We're getting very close to becoming a fascist state, you know, if we haven't gotten there already. We're already a police state, you know, and America finds ways to divide its people, and that's how they control us, through fear and division. And the new divide is you're either vaccinated or you're not vaccinated. And I want you all to watch. In the next couple of months, they're going to make laws that's going to be like, you can't go in this place if you're not vaccinated. You're going to have something to prove that you've been vaccinated. If y'all get a chance, check out that movie, Songbird, which they're in that movie, they're talking about COVID-23. I want you all to check that movie out. You know, because remember, they always tell you what's going to happen through entertainment, through programming. They always tell you what's going to happen. I want you all to keep an eye on things. That's all. Everybody be safe out here. Peace, and I'm out.
You too.
All right. Well, we got about 90 seconds. I do want to thank everybody who did call in and took part. Appreciate you. All the shows, same phone number. We will send out the links for the other ones. Been listening to the Panther Power Chat Open Rant with Kevin Crosby and other members of different groups, including ours, the Panther Party. And we appreciate everybody for listening. Definitely, we do this every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Let your peoples know. Bring them on. It's all good. Appreciate all of y'all. All right? Revolution is in your DNA. Remember that.
I reminisce.